Okay, before we say anything else, I just want to say I don't like the language he uses, the author. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unnecessary words, and at some point he's like, he keeps uses the word chicanery or something to mean, like, deviousness, I think. I'm not really sure, but I was like, I don't know what this means. And I just think that he could explain things a lot more concisely, and that would get the point across just as well without having to slog through, like, 2 pages to maybe explain one concept.
Well, I think because you feel this way because he's very sarcastic in a lot of the pages and sections. It's kind of on page 9 he says this book is sort of a primer in a way to use statistics to deceive. So this entire book is just saying how statistic is used to have people believing something that's not necessarily true in all ways.
I actually really like the humor involved, but like some of the things he uses synonyms to describe one thing, and it's just like pick one. Like for example, page 8. Now that I turn to page 9, the secret language of statistics, so appealing in fact-minded culture, is employed to sensationalize and inflate, confuse, and oversimplify. Yada 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 yada, and then so on and so forth. The same general tone continues for the entire thing.
I mean, in a way, he's doing this because people who already know how to lie, they already know the basics of this, or like exactly how to. And he's trying to just teach people who are honest in order to like self-defend themselves, because that's what he said on page 9 as well. Honest men must learn them in self-defense, so that you can learn the ways of like an unhonest person.
It's like burglary.
Yeah.
So do you guys believe that there's any non-lying, if that's a word, in statistics? Is there any truth in statistics?
Well, the thing about this whole book is that it's always true. When you're giving like different averages
and
the graphs, it's always a true thing. They make it look different. It looks a different way.
It's just like it's different ways to perceive the information and the way, like, people want you to perceive the information so that they can get you what you, like, you can do what they want you to do or what they don't want you to do.
Right, like, the outcome they want. Like, the heights of the dudes.
Yeah.
Not the heights, like, the prices of the houses.
Yeah.
Of the different averages, like, the mean versus the mode versus the median.
Yeah.
Like, those are very different numbers depending on who they want to sell the house to.
Exactly what
you
look at.
They're all algebraically correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, the way the prompt is organized, because, like, the way that someone studies something, the result of it might be true, but it's all, like you said, it's depending on, like, if you look at averages, mean, median, or mode, each of it is correct. It's just the certain thing that you look at.
Right.
So, I keep on saying that when they're doing a statistics-based, like, poll from a poll, like, they use one location. So, one of the examples where they went to a train station or the bus station, and they said, oh, well, you can find a whole bunch of
people
in this train. Like, I don't personally think that's true. Like,
right. Could I, like,
because
interject?
They
even gave the example of, like, you won't find pregnant women or, like, young children or very old because they don't use the trains. They're stuck at home.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not a complete, like, subsection.
It's also, do you guys remember the one about where he went to, like, different houses? And I forgot exactly what survey that was, but he went to different houses. I think to ask about, like, what kind of magazines they read.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it all depends on, like, what time you ask them, what neighborhood you go to, what kind of stuff they're actually willing to show you.
Right.
Because they might not show you everything they have, so you don't know, you're not getting an honest opinion from the people. So, and it's also kind of, like, I forgot which one it was. I think it was, like, the one from with salaries from college students or, like,
from
alumni.
Yeah.
Where,
depending
on, like, how much money they make. Because not everyone did the survey or, like, provided information, honest feedback. So you wouldn't know exactly, like, as a whole what the average is, because only a certain group of people gave you that stuff. So you, if you have 10 people, you only have the results of 10 people instead of a whole university.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always, like, a bias or something, like, that skews the data in a way that the results that you get may not be telling the truth, and you just have to deal with it because that's all you've been given by the people you're surveying.
So let's talk about the picture on page 10. Why do you think the author included this?
Good question.
Well, thinking
can we all agree that looks like a face?
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette.
Great.
I mean, looking off of it, it's kind of like as proportion-wise or a curved line going upwards, but...
Oh, yeah.
Like the big black thick line
that's
going upwards.
So I see this as a general population of statistic-based people who can get away with things, and now they're smirking about it and laying back and seeing what the result came out of that. People believe their statistic results, and now, like, I don't know.
That's a good analysis.
Yeah.
I think it all boils down to they want to make money.
Right.
Yeah.
Because by making, like, the ad look really good or their data look really good or et cetera, people are drawn to that, and then they'll invest in the business or they'll buy the product or they'll be like, oh, wow, Yale alumni makes so much money. Let's go to Yale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the way that, like, companies or advertisements or whatever, they present their results.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could, if they want it to be good, they will give the highest average or highest result of whatever their data is. And if they want it to be a product that people say, like, prevents acne or whatever, they will, like, the lowest amount of average. It's the way that the data is presented.
I really like the example he brings up with the IQ scores and how there's only, like,
there's, like, a margin of error.
Yeah, like, just a little bit of difference, and how that can contain if you're intelligent or not, just from a 93 to a 104.
Right. I thought it was really interesting that he also brought up, like, social implications of things like that.
Right.
Where when people get so hung up on the number instead of, like, the bracket, or even they get hung up on the bracket, it's like, we're damaging ourselves by this.
Right.
What do you guys think he means by on page 23 when he says how to read it without learning too much that is not necessary? So,
page 23.
Mm-hmm. How to read it under the book. How to read it without learning too much that is not necessarily so.
I think that's... We can kind of go back to the IQ thing as an example, almost, where you're given some number, and, like, your kid, let's go with, like, a 101. I think that was actually the number used.
Yeah.
And that can, you automatically think, oh, above average, because average is 100, like, by
right.
the book. That's the mean. But then you start thinking, oh, like, my kid's better than that kid, or they're not as good as this, yada, yada, yada. And it's all this extra stuff that's not quite, that's not quite what the score tells you. It's just a bracket, where they are in the bracket.
Yep.
And then female volume, what was that?
What is it?
That was also in the passage with the quote you gave.
Female volume?
Yeah.
That's from the same chapter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on 22, I think. Last line. So
female volume.
They're saying it's an issue of sampling and who you ask and what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, in that case, that changes my answer a little bit. Whoops.
Yay.
So, necessarily, you don't have to understand everything that is pointed out to you. You just need to know the gist of everything. And I think that's what you're... The quote you said about without learning too much, it's not so necessary. That's what I think it is that you don't have to know every little detail that's involved with the actual scenario. You just need to have the bigger picture and know what's right from wrong and what's the positive and what's the negative effect.
I'm going to add on to that and say that you also need to know who the subjects are,
right.
Like that they're asking. This goes back to like bias and things. If you're only asking like people aged 30 to 40 and it's a political poll, you're missing out all of the 20-year-olds.
Right.
And that can like really change things. So you shouldn't always take what you're seeing at face value, even though it may be a professionally done study.
This makes me kind of like scared to believe any other statistics that I see now.
Yes.
Now I'm so like iffy and like, is this true? Like, because they bring up like the like curing cancer and like people who lived in, what was it, Missouri or Minnesota or one of them. Like, I don't know. It's just like now I'm like iffy about everything.
Yeah, there was a poll in like chapter 3 that only used like 12 people, but it was. Like, out of 12 people, of course, you probably get the answer that you want, because the bigger the numbers, like, the bigger amount of people that you use, the more spread out your data is going to be, and, like, the more, like with the penny test that he used, he got eight heads out of 10 flips, and even though we know that you're supposed to expect 50-50, it was 80-20, and that's basically how they did it with surveying people. They only use 12 people to present their statistics, but they won't tell you that. They probably think, in advertising, they probably think they have maybe like 100 or 1,000 people surveyed, and they just use this to produce the results that they think they want to see and that they want the consumers to see.
Right. Like, I think it's wrong that they're only testing a dozen people, and it's probably going towards like 20 dozen of people. Like, 1 dozen of people, it doesn't affect everybody else, but the way they're putting it out is making it seem, though, that what they want their viewers to see is positive, when at the long run, it's probably negative. With more, like,
when you,
right,
when you
or
stuff.
No change, like the toothpaste.
Right.
I think that was actually the one with, like, 12 or, like, 20 people that they used to ask, like, did this toothpaste help you? Well, they all have the same ingredients, basically.
Right.
It's different color, different branding.
Right.
Like, in the end, it probably won't affect anything, but the specific people I asked, they probably done something for them.
Like, when you also do the experiments and stuff, you have to consider the probable errors and, like, the standard errors. The errors of, like, when we were looking at all the experiments, like, specifically looking at certain data, instead of, like, the errors of people not being there, or, like, the amount of people that you survey, age range, and, like, different, like, generation of, like, people that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to bring up something, Elena? American Dream?
Hey, I already tried the whole money business. But yeah, okay.
How do you feel like American Dream fits into this book?
Well...
So they're all
aiming to get money, and they all think that if they do this, they will sell more, basically.
Right.
With all these ads, they're aiming to sell more. If they are profiting from this, is that acceptable as a way to reach the American Dream?
I don't think it's acceptable, but no one's going to stop them because no one's telling them that they're doing wrong.
It's not illegal.
Yeah,
right.
It's
exactly.
Just...
It's just deceptive.
And everyone's doing it. So if it's not like we just stop one person, it's gone forever. Like, every company's probably doing this.
Should the government regulate it? Be, like, requiring the number of, like, test subjects they use or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right word. Or, like, examples of, like, the people they talked to and who the interviewers were and, like, really who was doing the experiments and stuff.
And
that kind,
like,
of transparency.
And not being able to say average instead of, like, be more, using more specific
numbers. Yeah, which
numbers.
Average?
Yeah.
Like
what number are you actually
there
looking
was,
at?
There was one part where they were saying that advertisers used median and then average in their advertisements. It's like,
I think that's
on page
36. Second chapter, maybe.
Yeah, in this chapter. End of the second chapter, it was like, of new subscribers, it said their median age is 34 years and their average family income is $7,020 a year. And that's basically like they're using a very specific choice of words in order to report their data collection. And some people probably just will be like, oh, okay, median and average, sure, whatever. But, like, they say average, and we don't know whether or not they mean mean.
Yeah,
or, like,
say
median
average
or free. Mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but sometimes that would go over people's heads, and it can be, like I said before, pretty deceptive, and we just don't know.
I mean, mathematically, they are right because of, like, the data that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're looking at certain amount of numbers, we don't really know what that number represents until they actually tell you.
Mm. So, our next reading will be
good.
What's our reading? 3 to 5? 3 to... Oh, that was wrong.
4 to 8.
4 to 8.
4 to 8. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Say bye, Mr. Miles.
Bye, Mr.
Bye.
Miles. Give us an A.
Give us an A.